Welcome to the Peter Stevens Motorcycles Vic MX Recap Show, presented by MotoCred. Peter Stevens Motorcycles have been supporting grassroots racing for 50 years and continue to do so into 2024 with the Peter Stevens Victorian Motocross Championship. Peter Stevens have over six locations with Ringwood and Dandenong in the southeast of Melbourne, Geelong and Adelaide, along with the new stores, PSNow in Perth and coming soon to Western Sydney. Stocking all major apparel and parts brands, manufacturers and more, Peter Stevens, everything for the ride. Presented by MotoCred. MotoCred have over 600 products to suit your bike, from tools, stands, foot pegs, levers, and everything else to bling out your dirt bike. To view the range, visit www.motocred.com.au.
There were times I was lost, dark had fear, couldn't see through the rain. In the end it was clear, hit the fan. I was more than one man, who was there to lend a hand? Together we'd stand, always at my back, my guardian soldier. Team pulled together, united we conquer. Blessed is he who in the name of charity carry me when I'm weak, straight through the valley of darkness, pitch blackness, the heartless. Regardless, fear couldn't part us, thick and thin, there by my side. At times we collide, but in the end we ride. And thin, there by my side. At times we collide, but in the end we ride. We ride, 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 ride.
Keep on holding strong. United we stand, divided we fall. Together we belong. I am my brother's keeper. Keep on holding strong. United we stand, divided we fall. Together we belong. I am my brother's keeper.
Hey there, Moto fans. The 2024 race season has officially begun, and I am excited to announce that we will be bringing you a recap show after each round of this year's Peter Stevens Victorian Motocross Championships, brought to you by MotoCred. Every episode will be available on both the Inside Dirt Network and the Mental for Moto podcast. I am, of course, your host, Pete Wolfe. Today I'll have Dean Mosig joining me in studio for a chat about the upcoming championship, but before we kick the preview show off, I thought it'd be good to catch up with Joe Stevens, the man behind Inside Dirt. It was Joe's idea to do this series of podcasts around the Peter Stevens Victorian Motocross Championship, so it'd be great to hear how it all came about. Welcome back to sunny Victoria, man.
Yeah, thanks, mate. It's a bit weird being on the other side of the introduction for a change, but... Yeah, here at round one of Prime X, and obviously we've been putting this thing together, so it worked out. You've come to our work pad station here at Wonthaggi with the ID Media Group doing their thing, and we can have a quick chat about, I guess, yeah, it's the first time we've had a show partnered with somebody else, and you've been doing your thing with Mental for Moto for a while now. Obviously, me coming from Victoria, Inside Dirt, originating from Victoria. It's been a goal for a long time to establish, you know, it's called the Inside Dirt Network, yeah. Right? And we have different shows and different partners, but the goal for me long-term is to have multiple contributors with different shows and different creators, right? So for yourself, it was a natural fit. I was like, all right, well, you pretty much are doing your thing in Victoria and you cover the local racing scene, and it's not feasible for me to do that. I'm not connected to Victoria like that anymore, especially yeah. with how quickly junior racing recycles, and you know, all the kids that I coached are now two generations removed, you know, and they've all got, you know, hair on their faces and deep voices, and I'm pretty far removed from the junior scene especially. So yeah, I was just thought, let's try something, reached out to you were, you know,
definitely obliging. Open to the idea, yep.
Yeah, and I think it's cool, right? Like, you've got all these different publications, creators, contributors, and the goal for me with Inside Dirt is that we can all, you know, it's a network, and if it gives, especially everyone covers pro racing, not enough people cover grassroots and state amateur, you call it in the States, junior, you call it over here, whatever it is. There's so much talent coming out of, you know, we were at the Sunny States a couple of weeks ago. That series is insanely big. Yeah. Now the Vic titles is, you know, at one point was the state championship. I think it's starting to get going again after a few years, but there's so much talent collectively coming out of these championships that they deserve a voice, they deserve coverage. And that's where I hope this comes in.
Yeah, I mean, we just spent the day on the Saturday at the Pro MX getting around, and you can see so many of the riders that have come up through the Victorian Championships that are now testing the water on the national level. So what gave you the idea to actually do a podcast about grassroots motocross? It's not a scene that usually gets a lot of coverage.
That's the whole point, is that, again, everybody covers Pro MX, everyone covers Supercross, which I get. It's where the brand's spending the money. That's where the pro races are. But I think probably my connection to coaching and being around the kids and the families for so many years, and even myself, right? Like, yeah, I raced pro. I had a whole career before I came to Australia, but I was never elite pro. I was never a factory rider. And I think that there's a lot of stories out there. There's a lot of families and kids and even seniors. We're not just doing junior Vics. We're doing senior Vics. Those guys that are local pros, that are the vet guys, right? Like, giving them a platform. Everyone's spending money. Everyone's putting their body on the line and going racing. I just thought it was time that, you know, I think the sport is evolving and we're obviously at the forefront of it with my agency, with ID Media Group, creating content, do an editorial, we have publications, but it's time that the next generation sort of have that earlier. And you would know, you know, you interview these kids, you know, you go to the races, you have them at your studio. I'm not talking down about anybody, but like, you look at the American kids and they got interviews on lock, they got media on lock. Sure. They know what they're doing before they're on 85s. Australian kids going into MX3, I hate to say it, you put a camera in front of them or a microphone, they can barely string a sentence together. That's a problem. For us as a company, we try to interview riders and talk about brands and bikes and products, and they're so scared to say the wrong thing, they don't say anything, you know? So this is just another avenue
to develop them as riders on all levels. So not just the riding side, but their ability to manage media, promote themselves, promote the sport.
Exactly. Life lessons, man. Yeah. 95% of these kids aren't going to become top pros, but what they learn through these outlets and these mediums, you know, hopefully it gives them a good grounding to progress as individuals, you know? And I think it's a responsibility almost, you know, like, to help, you know, coaching was a job and it was a living, and yeah, I did it well. I made pretty good money out of it. Same as the top coaches do, but there's also you care about bringing these kids through. And I think now I've moved past that and I'm doing the media company, I kind of miss that kind of development and nurturing a little bit. So yeah, it's kind of the goal, and just grow the footprint of our network. And, you know, you got brands like Peter Stevens that we've done business with previously. I mean, PS, I had my race team with, my coaching program with, like, we did a lot with those guys back in the day, about, you know, 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
So once I realized they were sponsoring the
series,
I pretty much reached out to Luke and Scott and pretty much said, hey, you know, you guys are investing in the series. I think this would be a great avenue. It's the same as what we do with other partners, with other championships on the network. And do you want to use this as an activation to double down on what you guys are doing? Because then the rider's going to listen to this, the sponsors listen to this. It allows the championship to grow and exist outside of the weekends.
Yes, of course.
You know, because I think, you know yourself, you do your shows, you have your channel. You know, everyone thinks social media is enough, but when everyone on social media is doing the same thing, then what is the point of difference?
So one thing I love about the idea of covering the Victorian State Championships is the fact that a lot of our listeners can relate to the riders that they're hearing. And like you said, it gives riders, both senior and juniors, an opportunity to actually be part of the media, the sort of stuff that they see, not only on social media, but, you know, broader media as well. Tell me a little bit more as well about your relationship with Peter Stevens, how that came about, and some of the projects that you might have done in the past with them.
We're going to test my memory now. Yeah. Peter Stevens. Okay, now I remember. So back in 2015, wow, here we go. So 9 years ago, I had my motocross healthy development coaching and gym business. And I just opened my new gym, Carrum Downs. Mick Sinclair from Fox at the time was training at the gym. And yeah, we were looking for partners, you know, so we ended up doing a deal with Peter Stevens. Sinks kind of introduced me to Scott and the guys there, and Luke, he's been there as well a long time. So we did like a deal where Peter Stevens customers could come to my gym and they had a discount code and vice versa. If you remember at my gym, you could get discounts from Peter Stevens. And that actually kind of kickstarted me getting back into coaching.
Yep.
And I did some schools on the bike that they did for me. And then the following year, I actually sold my gym and would focus solely on moto again, and started the junior team. And that was the Peter Stevens KTM Mad team. We had riders, Michael Murphy, Riley Finlay, Scott Brewster, no, Josh Brewster, which was Scott's son. And then we did that 2016 and 2017. We did the junior team with them and the pro team. So I had a pro development team with KTM Australia and Peter Stevens, which was pretty cool. We did yeah, full Primex, had the truck, and worked with PS and all the brands through the dealership to have support. And we almost got top privateer of the year in MX1 with James Allen, but we just got pipped at the end of the year. But yeah, PS were great. And then after that, I kind of took a step back from all that and went in a different direction with doing my marketing business. But PS have always supported, you know, their deal is grassroots racing, you know, grassroots participation. And, you know, at times what I was doing with them kind of went more to pro racing and they did support me just because they were really good like that.
Yeah.
But their focus is getting people buying motorcycles, participation, and you know, selling product and getting people
through the dealership.
Through the dealership and giving kids and families safely what they need to get out and ride. So, yeah, PS have been great, man. They've always supported me pretty much within reason, literally anything I've gone to them with. Like this, I haven't talked. I talked to Scott and Luke, you know, see him at Supercross, see him at the races, but one phone call, hey, what do you guys think? Just, yeah, if it's supporting the series and we know you guys do a good job with it, we're in, you know. So they're, you know, they have regrouped and they're making a big push. You know, you'll hear you guys listening in the sponsor read, like there's lots of new stores opening and it's going in a bigger direction after a few years of just having the stores they had. So it's cool to see where they're at.
Yeah, and finally, obviously you were Victorian-based for a long time. What's your experience with the Victorian Championship? Was it something that you raced during your riding career?
Yeah, it was. I did probably a handful of Vic title races. Honestly, I didn't race much in Australia.
Yep.
Wow, I think I might have done maybe two. when I moved to Oz, I hadn't raced for a long time. And when I kind of got back into it, I saw the opportunity in the Oz motocross industry and decided like the coaching and the fitness avenue once I got established was what I was going to go down. So I did some local racing and I raced a few MX Nationals, but yeah, I raced Wonthaggi, I think I raced Blue Rock. But it's a strong series.
It is, yeah.
It's a very strong series. And I think actually I lived here in Australia as a kid when I was like 13 for like a year, 2000. And I think I raced Ballarat, Monza Park, maybe Vic titles. Couple that was back like me and Justin Carafa were like arch rivals on Small Wheel 80s. Bronny Holland, rest in peace. Bronny would battle with us. Some really fast kids, like the amount of kids, Cade Mozick, Adam Monya, like our age group in junior Vics back in the day. That's probably more my experience with it. Like I didn't race it much as a senior, but if you look at like just that age group then back in the day, like there's stories for days. I know I don't want to get off topic and obviously we're about to jump into your show with Dean, which is awesome because me and Mosey go way back. Like he was one of my first friends when I moved to Oz back in 2009 2010. But the talent back in the day that came out of the Vic titles, like, you know, me, Mosey, Monya, Carafa, and then below that was like Keisha, and they were like 2 years younger than us, and Keisha's age group, you know, it was crazy the amount of talent that was around.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned the Carafas, like we've got Lewis J. Carafa, he'll be racing it this year. So it's the next generation now coming through.
That's a trip because he was up at the Sunny States and I was talking to Julian and I sort of said to Lewis, I'm like, man, me and your uncle used to battle, you know, and now he's not even a kid anymore. He's like nearly a teenager on 85, and it just makes you realize how generational this sport is. And it's awesome. It's again, the journalism and platforms like this, it just tells, stories, and I think there's not enough of that. I wish we should do more of that. I just don't have the time to do all these really cool color interviews that I'd love to do.
Yeah.
And when we do our shows, we have fun with it. But there's so many stories, man. And I guess hopefully
we get to tell a few of them over the series.
Exactly. So, yeah, man, I want to thank you for taking this and running with it. I think it'll be something cool. And hopefully everyone listening that's doing the VIX, good luck. Have fun, stay safe, and don't be a stranger if there's a voice recorder or a microphone or a phone call coming. Just, you know, don't even be intimidated by it. Just talk about, talk your story, talk your race, and that's all it is.
Yeah, we'll plan to talk to a lot of the riders over the course of the series. And thanks, Joe. Thanks for this chat, and thanks for the opportunity to work with Inside Dirt and, yeah, do this podcast with Mental Fumoto and Peter Stevens as well. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thanks, Peter Stevens. You know, like I said, been keeping an eye on what you've been doing. I listen to the shows when I can. It's great to see people. I said this to you during Supercross that we're a commercial platform. We have an agency. We have publications. It's not to say we don't value anything grassroots or amateur. We do. But I love what you're doing with supporting the privateers and the photo packages and the calendars and the fundraising. Like, there needs to be more of that. So it's cool to see. So that's why I reached out. So thanks again, and hope you guys enjoy the content.
Well, this is the preview show for the Victorian Motocross Championships, so let's get into it. As mentioned earlier, the title sponsor of both the podcast and the series is Peter Stevens Motorcycles. So fittingly, back in the Moto Asylum for this episode is somebody who is part of the Peter Stevens team, Dean Mosig. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Pete. Cheers. Yeah.
You're becoming a part of the furniture.
It feels like it. Yeah.
Third time back in the studio.
Yep, third time's a charm, they say.
Yeah. So much focus and support is often put into the national and international level of motocross events. So it's great to see an industry powerhouse like Peter Stevens supporting the sport as what is effectively a grassroots level. Why do they support the Victorian Motocross Championships at this sort of level? And you know, what's their interest?
It's a great question, Pete. I think every and any rider that has ever come up through the sport started at grassroots. Everybody starts at grassroots. I think if you go back through history and you really picked out a lot of pro riders that had started somewhere, a lot of them had actually been sponsored by Peter Stevens.
Yep.
Throughout the earlier stages of their career. And I think now more than ever, the senior management team at Peter Stevens are so focused on helping the industry and the sport grow by supporting the grassroots level riders and the people coming up through the sport. When I say support, it's not like, you know, we're throwing out free bikes and everything like that. It's just giving people support, you know, some help with parts, some help with bikes, some help with gear, some sticker kits, you know, and really just getting behind the industry, man. It's important for the growth of our sport. It's important for obviously us as, you know, our business model is a dealership selling motorcycles. It's very important.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
No, it's good. It's really good. I think the direction, obviously, that Victorian motocross is going, it's in a growth spurt, I believe. And we want to see as many people get involved.
Yeah.
And have a crack and have a go and support the series, support the sport, and support their local dealers too. It's not all about us. You know, we obviously are doing our bit to support as many people as we can, but ultimately, there are other dealerships that are getting behind riders too and supporting them. So collectively, man, it's a growth spurt for the Victorian scene, and I'm very excited to be behind it.
Yeah, it's great to see. And I mean, Peter Stevens has such a presence in the industry, especially at the amateur level, let's call it. They support events. They support different venues. You see them. They're a sponsor of the Better by Dirt amateur racing team. Yeah, they're definitely getting behind the sport, like you said, and it's awesome to see.
It is, and it's not just motocross as such.
Yep.
You know, we've got supported riders in hard enduro scene. We've got supported riders in the Vic off-road scene. We've got freestyle riders that we support. We've got motocross riders, junior and senior. So we've definitely got a wide range of support for all calibers of off-road motorcycling at the moment.
Yeah, and something you sort of said before we started recording too, was, which I thought was really, really interesting, their approach isn't necessarily results focused. Like they actually like to see something different out of the sport and want to see riders getting out there and having a go and enjoying themselves.
Yes, you're spot on. And that is such a positive approach, I find. You know, there are so many people that are fixated on results and they think, oh, if I'm going to get this good result, I'm going to get a sponsor or whatever. A lot of the guys that are results focused quite often end up pretty miserable, man.
Yeah.
Or burnt out or doing it for the wrong reasons. And I, for one, want to see people just enjoying racing a dirt bike and the sport, and the senior management team behind me have the same view.
Yeah,
they want to see you out there having a go, enjoying yourself. Being approachable and being friendly is a big deal.
Yeah, of course. You know,
there are a lot of kids that we support. I wouldn't say purely based on their mannerisms and whatnot, but it has a huge role within the support that they receive from us, because they're good, they're well-mannered kids, they're well-spoken, they have respect for their colleagues and are pleasures to deal with. So the guys that are, you know, results-focused and everything like that, it's in this day and age, man, it really almost isn't about that, you know. Yeah. The thing with having a big supported network of riders, you know, ultimately the bigger picture is ultimately to drive that business back to the dealership too.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't go and support a shop from a person that was rude to you.
Yeah, of course.
You know, you could be the fastest kid out there, but unless another kid feels like they can come up and talk to you, or you're approachable, or an adult for whatever that reason is, unless they have a positive interaction with you, you're probably not going to want to go and support the people that support them. So,
and that's something that I guess has changed in more recent years, especially with the age of the internet. The personality of these younger riders is a lot more visible to what it used to be. So back in the day, if you were the fastest rider, that's all people got to see of you, is basically your performance on the track. Now, we actually get to know some of these riders. So, you know, that's something when you are a sponsor, you know, you're going to associate with these young riders. And it's really important, the way that they carry themselves, you know, a lot more important than probably that it used to be, you know, 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, and these sort of mannerisms and whatnot are not just good for racing, but good for their life, man.
Yeah.
You know, to be good people.
100%.
Outside of racing, because let's face it, racing is finite.
Yep.
In terms of the time span that we have doing it. And yeah, just to instill good values and ultimately reward the kids and the parents that are doing that and instilling good values in their kids and whatnot. It makes it a pleasurable experience. And let's face it, at grassroots level, this is pleasure motivated.
Yep.
None of us are making money out of it or careers, you know, or the very, very four, very small amount of people that do, you know. It's not enough to say that it's not about just pleasure, because it pretty much is. But yeah, it's just a good energy around what's happening with Peter Stevens at the moment in terms of the way that they want to support riders and for the reasons why they want to do it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, gone are the days where, you know, you would only get support if you're a top level A grader.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, there are still support levels like that out there for all different calibers of riders. You know, we've got kids that are C grade 65 versus, you know, we've got some elite sort of A grade guys too.
And if you're selling performance parts, you probably want to be associated with those faster riders. So there's courses for horses, or horses for courses, as they say.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And I think at a grassroots level, it is all about having those approachable, friendly, positive people at the track that are going to, I guess, help us drive business back to the dealerships.
Yeah. Represent the sport well, represent the products well, and
have fun, dude. Just have fun. Like,
yeah. What's that? You're a sales salesman, so it's about not selling the product, selling the lifestyle.
Selling the outcome, selling the dream, selling the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Sell the result. Yeah.
Well, we are talking about a championship though, so, and it really is a stepping stone between local and regional racing and the national level, the Victorian Championship. It's a bit of a proving ground for future superstars of the sport, and it also attracts a lot of interstate riders. So you've done the Victorian titles or Victorian championships quite a few times yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, just about every year since I've raced, pretty much. So I want to say probably 15 years of doing that series.
Wow, and sort of what's your broader experience, you know, big picture experience been over those years?
Oh, really good. Yep. Really good. It's always an exciting time of the year. So, like, you wind back the clock to, say, years in the past where, let's say, Juan Thagy got the first round of the Senior Vic titles, and that was just before the first round of the Nationals. You know, the excitement around the first round of the Vic titles, you know, you get a lot of national caliber riders that would come down in preparation for that first round of the Nationals. You know, they get the track experience, get the race time. It's been the same at Albury Wodonga. You know, they've hosted a Vic title in the lead up to a national and had amazing numbers and, you know, these really, really fast guys. It almost feels like you're racing a national. That's been the story throughout my experience with the Vic titles over the years. It's, the excitement generally leading up to the nationals and seeing those guys in that pre-season, that grind mode, you know, where they want to get some races under their belt and stuff. So
does it almost act like a bit of a preview to the Pro-MX sometimes? Is that how you could summarise it?
I think a lot of riders like those races to check in with themselves and see where they're at.
Yep.
See, okay, I've just done all summer slugging it out, you know, I'm going to go and test myself before the real test, which is the Nationals. So I think it's good for a lot of guys to get some data on how the bikes behave characteristically. You know, a track like Juan Thagy is important. You know, you want to have your bike set up as good as you can be because of how brutal the track gets.
Yes.
I think it's there's a lot of different things that constitute as to why people come and do those pre-season rounds before a national. But yeah, the Vic titles is always exciting, especially the first round.
Yeah, of course.
And the series does hold a high level of prestige. You know, it is a state title. And
And we do get national level riders that come back and race the Vic titles as well.
100%. Year in, year out. So, yeah, nice spot on, Pete.
Yeah, so we get to see, I guess, those riders that are coming up through the ranks test themselves against established, you know, national and sometimes even world international caliber riders as well.
Definitely.
One of the things that you mentioned earlier, which I actually thought was really interesting, is how the Victorian Championships drives attendance at both the regional and club level at these tracks. And it was something that I thought was definitely worth talking about.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Pete. It's always, kind of like what we just spoke on, but I seen this happen in that exact scenario this year already. So the first round of the Senior Victorian titles is at Portland.
Yes.
And the Western Region Series hosted the first round of their championship at Portland. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe they had a record number. I think it was over 290 entries for that round.
Yep.
Same thing. They're getting ready to go and race the track for the Vic titles. So they've used that as a practice run and an opportunity, which is for the regional championships is fantastic.
Yeah.
They get all these big numbers, you know, the club obviously have a pre-run of the event and, you know,
hosting towns, hosting, get a, you know, big economical boost as well from all the people that come.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It was the same for Cobram.
Yeah.
Cobram hosted the first round of the Northern Regions, I believe, on the same weekend. And with them hosting the first round of the Junior Vic titles, I know they had a huge turnout as well.
Yes.
You're right. It does. It boosts some of the numbers at the regional series as well, which is, again, you know, it's
phenomenal for the sport.
It's great for the clubs. It's good for the great for the support. Sport, sorry. Yeah. So,
and I guess the same way that the Victorian Championships exposes riders at that regional level to, you know, riders at the state and national level, I guess at these lesser club events or regional events, you're actually getting club level races then getting exposed to state level races as well. So it, to use a term, cross-pollinates the level of talent, you know, through the pool. So people get to see where they're at. And there's also a level of excitement for, I think, you know, club level races to be able to go and line up against some of these riders that they may have seen or read about or that they follow on social media as well. So that's another sort of very cool thing about motocross and the sport. you know, there's not a lot of other sports where you get to line up against, you know, whatever effectively people that you may idolize a little bit.
Yeah, 100% agree. I remember the first few years of me racing A grade. I think I went to A grade in 2012, straight into MX1, like the 450 class. And I remember the first two or three years of me racing Victorian titles, I was racing against dudes that I worshipped growing up as a kid, you know. Cade was still at the top of his game, you know, guys like Adam Monier, yeah. Cameron Taylor, you know, Lewis Woods, just some really, really good Victorian guys that were on a national level. They were still the top guys yeah. too, you know. And I do. I remember the first few years of me lining up against those guys, just going, man, like, I know I'm about to get absolutely waxed here, but how cool is this?
Yeah.
You know, I'm on the starting gate with these guys. It wasn't even about the result for me. It was the experience.
Yes, yeah.
And that's what's kept me coming back. It's always about the experience, yeah. you know. So, again, and it's good for people to, you know, have a go. I think there's been a lot of people in the past that I felt like have maybe not entered in a Vic title, perhaps because of that level of prestige behind it.
Yes.
And they feel like they're probably underqualified. I actually had a couple of people approach me earlier in the year going, oh, we're thinking about doing the Victorian titles. And I just said, let me ask you one question. What were your reasons behind not doing it? And it was, oh, you know, it's a big series and it's a big, and I said, it's no different to any other race meet you've ever gone to once the gate drops. It's all the same, you know, yeah. And just kind of put that into people's mind. It's like, it's about just having a go. It doesn't really matter. You know, there are people that want to get results and yeah, power to them, you know, and I still like to perform too. You know, I don't go on the starting line going, man, I'm not even going to try, you know, yeah, I hope of course, I get waxed, yeah. you know, it's not like that at all. You know, I've got an idea in my head of where I feel like I belong and, you know, I'll go down swinging to trying to get myself to land there every time. But I think the culture around the sport has shifted a little bit too. And I feel like people are a lot more connected with each other.
Yes.
I see a lot more people in the pits that are all pitting together and they're going away and they're camping and they're training together and whatnot. Where I remember when I was younger and even like the first round of the Gippsland regional titles back when I first started racing sort of 05, 06, 07. And it was intimidating just being in the pits. You know, everyone was so serious and it was yeah. that at that time was such a prestigious series as well. The Gippy World titles, if anyone in Victoria has raced that series, they'll know exactly what I mean when I say that. But it's almost better now. It is, you know, and the enjoyment side of things is what I believe people are really harnessing in on and getting something out of it. And it's great because that's, like I said, it directly sort of correlates with the direction our business are going in terms of supporting people and that. We want to see people having fun.
Yeah.
Fun is the ultimate result that we want people to have. And fun is why we do it, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from people that are results driven and want to perform and all that. Because, man, I was like that my whole racing time as well. Yeah, yeah. You know, like I get it. That's what makes us do what we do. And yeah, I just think it's really good to see that little bit of a cultural shift that we've experienced in the last few years, because it does. It actually makes being at the races really fun.
Yeah.
You know, to the point, it's actually funny, right? So the weekend just gone, Monday was a public holiday. And I woke up Monday morning, I had nothing to do. I'd ridden the day before, helped out my friend Mitch do a riding school. And I thought, what am I going to do today? And I literally drove down to our local track and hung out with everyone.
Yeah.
Only for about an hour and a half, you know what I mean? And that's actually where I wanted to be. I thought, I've got a free day today. What am I going to do? And I drove down the local track and talked to everybody in the pits and watched the boys ride. And it's such a community.
It definitely is, yeah.
It really is. And especially once you've been around for a while now, you know, like my whole social network is tied to this. It's not like I'm knocking around with the boys from high school anymore or anything like that. You know, all my friends are from the sports. So, yeah, we're big on culture.
Yeah.
We're massive on that.
So one thing that I've seen certainly over the last few years and when I had Mitch Worrell on, it was something that he pointed out as well, is that the level of talent is at an all-time high at the moment. Why do you think that is? Do you think this sense of community and riders
learning off each other and training together and hanging out plays a part in that? Or do you think there's something else that is actually driving up this level that we're seeing right now?
Very, very, very valid suggestion. There's probably a handful of things that have had a role in that. I think nowadays we see a lot of, you know, we've almost kind of copied America and, you know, what initially was just the Baker's Factory and that program. You know, you look way back then when people hired Alden Baker, when Ricky Carmichael had Alden Baker, it was just Ricky and Alden.
Yeah.
And then a couple of years later, Ricky had Filippotto, Jake Weimer, and Cincerullo. Now he has the whole Pira Motor Group, which is KTM, Husqvarna, GasGas, and all of them guys ride and train together. I think it's very much the same over here. You know, I see a lot of the guys that are on the Oats MX program and they're riding 2-3 days a week. They're all riding and training together. You know, Ross Beaton has his fleet of amazing riders. that same thing. They're all riding and training together. You know, Ford Dale has his program up north. The list goes on. There are so many.
Double O Elite.
Nathan Crawford.
Yep.
The list goes on. There are so many more high profile ex or former pro guys that have got these sort of elite training focused, you know, programs that people can do. And I don't remember that 10 or 15 years ago like it is now.
Yeah.
So yeah, the getting back to your initial statement, the level of talent, especially in the juniors, man. Oh, I can't remember where I went. The last junior race, I think, was like the AMX Open that I seen. And some of these junior guys are phenomenal, man.
Yeah.
Like the level of talent. And, you know, you think, all right, let's look at how accessible information is now with the internet. You know, you can watch someone like Jet Lawrence ride flawlessly over and over and over. And I think maybe Mitch spoke about this on the podcast you guys did with the level of access we have to content and watching people ride and breaking it down and seeing it firsthand. Yeah, that's had a huge impact on the way that people are riding nowadays for sure. But yeah, the junior talent is astronomical. And Australia has a very high standard.
Yeah.
You know, not quite like the US, but we're chipping away.
Yeah, and that definitely increases the level of prestige at events like the Victorian State Championships as well. Well, let's look at some of the events themselves. So in Victoria, we split the junior and senior events. So there's 8 rounds in total. We've got 4 junior rounds and 4 senior rounds. And they're, of course, held at 8 different tracks. So let's have a look at the tracks that we've got on the calendar. So for the Victorian Junior Motocross Championship, we've got Cobram, then Currumburra, Winton and Colac. And starting a little bit later, for the Victorian Senior Motocross Championship, we have our first round at Portland, which kicks off on April 21st. Then we go to Ballarat, Goulburn Valley, and then finishing up in Blue Rock. So you've said that you've done 15 years of these things. Have you raced at all these tracks that are on the calendar at the moment?
All bar one. Sorry. So Winton is the only one I haven't actually raced at.
Yep.
Yeah, and they held a Senior Vic title last year, and the track looks really good. I think I'd had a couple of cracked ribs or something that had stopped me from getting there. But, I'm actually a really big fan of the all the tracks this year.
Yeah. So do you have any favourites? Like which ones race well?
Man, Monza Park at Ballarat, when they get that right, is phenomenal.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's in a big valley. It's kind of like a hard-packed clay kind of track. Kind of looks like Penguin in Tasmania a little
bit.
Yes,
yeah.
But it ruts up and it's got uphills, downhills, off cambers, a couple of good jumps. Oh, I love Ballarat. It's definitely not a fun track in the mud. And I like Portland too. Yeah, Portland is a really fun track. They've got a really high speed roller section in the middle of the track that's, you know, fourth, fifth gear on the 450, and it's exciting.
Yeah,
I really like all the tracks this year.
Yeah.
Shepparton, Goulburn Valley is another national caliber track. They've raced the nationals at Shepparton in the years past, and Blue Rock is my home club, so
yeah, it's my favorite track to race at as well. Yep. So as far as the junior ones go, what's Cobram like?
Awesome. Yeah. Yep. Cobram's a really good track. Yeah, right near the river there, so it's kind of like a red kind of sand. Same thing, it forms up a lot of ruts and lines, and it flows well. I like Cobram. It's always good. You used to be able to, back in the day, if you had enough time in between motos, you could go out the back and have a quick dip in the river and come back for your moto, you know. Literally out the back of the track, you go down the extended driveway and it's straight down to the river. You could literally jump in, have a dip. And
perfect for a hot day.
Yep, I've done that plenty of times.
And then, Currumburra is only 18 minutes from here. And like you said, then the juniors go to Winton. But you were telling me you saw some stuff about Winton, or you read some stuff about Winton, and you said it looked, pretty good.
Yeah, definitely seen some of the content from a lot of the guys that raced it last year. And, it looked like a wicked track. I was kind of bummed to be sitting at home for that one. Yeah, it looked really good.
Yep. So was that on the senior circuit last year?
It was. Yep.
Yeah, okay, yep.
Yep.
And then we finish up in Colac, which is another sand track.
It is, yeah. It's like a black sand.
Yeah.
Yep. It's like quicksand when it gets wet.
So like we said, the juniors kick off on the 23rd and 24th of March at Cobram. They have a breakdown of the classes, unlike some of the regional and club level events, which are now age-based classes. We go back at the state level into A, B and C grade, as well as the age levels, because we're getting bigger numbers as well at these events. So they split it up between Saturday and Sunday. So on the Saturday for Cobram, we've got 65 cc's, the 85 small wheel, big wheel class, 12 to 16, and 250 cc, 13 to under 16s. And then on the Sunday, we've got Div 2, the 85 cc small wheel, 9 to under 12. The 125 cc is 13 to under 16, and the girls 85 to 250, 12 to under 16. And for this year, that changes from round to round. So for the classes that are racing on the Saturday, they'll race the Sunday on the next round, and then the Saturday, and then the Sunday again. For the seniors, we haven't got the breakdown of the classes yet, but I believe they have a similar sort of breakdown in terms of some of the classes race on Saturday and some of the classes race on Sunday. Is that your experience as well?
100%. Yeah, the last, I want to say, 3 or 4 years that I've raced the Victorian titles, they introduced a new class in 2019,
yes,
which was all powers. And then I think the following year they broke it up into all powers A, B and C. So the Saturday is traditionally vets. They go vets 30-plus expert, vets 30-plus clubmen, and then 40-plus expert, 40-plus clubmen and ladies. With the All Powers guys. So with MX1 and MX2 being on the Sunday, like I said, it kind of allows guys that are racing, say the MX1 and MX2, they can race the Saturday in the All Powers class, even if they're not a vet or anything. You know, you can be a 17-year-old kid racing a 450 in the All Powers and race an MX1 on the Sunday. So it's good that they do that. It gives people, especially the guys that travel, you know, if you're coming from a very, very long way, you kind of almost want to get 2 days racing out of it.
Yes, yeah.
You know, to justify your travel and your expenses and your experience. So, yeah, it's really good that they do that and split it up over the 2 days.
All right, so let's have a chat about some of the riders that we might expect to see at the Victorian Championships. We haven't got a rider list yet, so we're speculating a bit, but I think between the two of us we can have a pretty good idea of the riders that we're going to see. Obviously, we can't talk about every rider that's going to be there. So, if we don't mention you, apologies, and we might get to you in one of the review shows. So we'll start with the junior classes. 85cc, I'm sure we're going to see guys like Oates MX, Cooper Danaher, Coop Dog. Yep. So yep. I think he'll put on a good showing. Connor Gillett from Lakes Entrance, he's a little weapon. And then we've got local boy Luca Fours as well. So he'll be putting in a strong showing in the 85cc class as well, I think.
Some depth in that class. And obviously, you know, your superstars like Cooper Ford and all that are obviously, you know, phenomenal. But Cooper Danaher, man, he's a really good kid. His parents, Timmy and Claire, put in a lot of time and effort with him through the Oats MX program. And I've got to know them as a family, you know, very well. And Coop Dog is a ripper, man. He's all heart, you know, and he's talented, man. You know, a couple of the boot camps, you know, I'd be a bit intimidated to go out and do a demo because a little Coop Dog would come up and wax me on an 85. But like we said, the depth in the juniors and the talent, it's a super exciting time.
Oh, for sure. And you know, the next generation, I guess, not too far out of seniors, in the junior 125 and 250 class. We've got guys like Max Compton and Tash Schulenberg, who are the Rockefellers racing group. Jesse Kolb.
Jesse Kolb was another rider that we supported as a Peter Stevens rider for a couple of years there. A great kid. Another OTMX.
I was about to say,
another OTMX prodigy.
Yep. another local kid, Memphis Trevina. So he's coming back from injury at a broken wrist, and he's looking to get a real good result this year in the Vic titles. I know he's taking it pretty seriously because it's going to be his last year as a junior.
Yep.
But, he's another phenomenal rider. And then another local boy, Noah James, who recently picked up some support from the Teague Dub Husqvarna team. So
well earned too.
Yeah.
He's another absolute pleasure of a kid, man.
Yeah, he is, yep.
Polite and well-spoken. And Trent, his old man, is doing a really good job with him as well.
Yeah.
So, got a lot of time for Noah and Trent, for sure.
Yeah, and Alicia, she does graphics by Aqua. Alicia, yeah.
Yep.
So they're doing great things for the industry themselves. You know, they support a lot of riders through with their graphics. And
Trent's business, TJ Pool Plumbing. I believe so. He has a few riders that he supports as well. So, great to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely, at this level too, you see it a lot. It's a very family-orientated affair, isn't it?
Yeah, well, even like you mentioned, like the Schulenberg racing team, you know, Kai funds that race team, and he was investing a lot into getting those boys on the bikes and funding that team. Hats off to Kai, man.
Oh, another Rockefellers rider who's going to come down, and I spoke to him a few days ago, DJ Sanko. Like, he's another really, really good prospect and did really well at the Supercross last year as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, so he'll be coming down. In the junior girls, Eliza Dennis.
Watch out, boys.
Yeah, she's looks to be the future of women's motocross in Australia.
And potentially Europe or America.
Yeah.
The way that she rides a bike is, I haven't actually ever seen a junior female rider ride a motorcycle the way she does.
Yeah, I the only one I think I could possibly relate to is probably Maddie Healy. She was very dominant in the junior 85s, I've heard.
Yep.
But beyond that, it's not very often that you see a young girl be able to go toe-to-toe with A-grade boys. It's just...
And beat half of them.
Yeah, all of them.
All of them, sorry, yeah.
Yep. Nellie Fox, another really strong showing. Layla Dice, so part of the Dice motocross empire.
Trilogy, yeah. Yeah.
So, every time you see the number 33 and Dice on the back, they're going to be quick.
Yep.
Yep. Mason Ezagalis, EZE.
Yep.
Lewis J. Carafa.
Yeah, one of my personal favourites, man. He's such a good kid. The same thing, another rider that come through the PS ranks.
Yeah.
We supported him for a couple of strong seasons, and it's been a pleasure to watch him progress, not even as a rider, just as a kid and as a human and as a, you know, a young man. His dad, Julian, and his uncle, Justin, phenomenal riders in their day. Yeah. Both national caliber guys. Justin was a world-class junior in his day. I think he actually raced for Australia.
Yeah, I've had him on the podcast as well.
Yep. Raced in Europe, you know, Supercross, ProMX, and just great people, man.
The very humble. He had a phenomenal career and humble and can still ride.
And same as Julian, man.
Yeah.
Same as Julian. You know, he was a national caliber, you know, 450 racer.
Yep.
And same thing, even at the Vic titles in the years past, a top contender. But I really have a lot of time and respect for the Carafa family.
Like we sort of said, it's another family, you know, that a really strong motocross family that also give back a lot to the sport.
Yep, correct. And you know, to see Lewis J get the ride, you know, obviously with Toddy Waters and the Husqvarna, you know, for us to be a stepping stone in what we were able to do to help him get that ride, you know, we're happy to see that, man. That's really cool.
No, that's so good.
To feel like we played a role in getting him up to, you know, what will no doubt be his pro ranks.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you go back over the years, I think you'll find, and you'll obviously know this, but for the listeners, Peter Stevens has played a role in so many of these young juniors going through and progressing in their careers.
Yep. Yep, exactly right. And that's getting back to where we started with supporting grassroots levels, you know, and being that gateway to hopefully bigger and better things for all of these riders.
Yeah.
It's super important, man. And it's special. It's something we all feel very, very passionate about.
Yeah. Speaking of progression, we'll chat about some of the seniors as well, just quickly before we go. MX1 class, Chandler Burns. So he'll be racing. He races Pro MX in the MX2 class, but he'll be racing MX1 at the Vic titles. I've spoken to him about it, and
he put on a show at the AMX Open too.
Didn't he? What?
Yeah, on the 450, he was, you know, I believe, did he finish on the podium?
Yeah, he came third overall.
He did. He finished third.
Yeah, led laps against Wilson Todd and Nate Crawford.
Yep. Kyle Webster.
Yep.
You know, like.
There's a kid with talent.
Yeah. Those guys are elite.
Yeah, and he's working as well with the Beatons Pro Formula team.
Yep.
This year, and I think he's pretty. He's all about having fun, but he takes it very seriously as well.
Yeah, he's got his head screwed on Chandler. A really nice kid.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I got a lot of respect for Chandler too. But yeah, man, he was a talented junior too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think after seeing the way he rode at AMX, you know, he went from being a guy that can do it to a guy that's like, oh wow,
yeah,
wow, you know what I mean, like. To be banging bars and leading laps against those kind of guys that's serious kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I interviewed him after the AMX Open on the review show that we did.
Yep.
And it's interesting though, because I expected after that performance that he would see himself as being one of those big dogs, and maybe he does. You know, he's very humble, but he kind of took it all in his stride. So
yep.
You know, I think he blew a lot of people away, and I don't think he realised how many eyes he sort of opened with that performance.
I agree. Yeah. No, power to him, man. He's a great guy.
Yeah, it's going to be great to see what he can do at the Victorian Championships.
Yep.
Braden Krebs and Ryan Van Deventer and Riley Futchko as well. Yep. So they'll definitely put a strong showing. And last year's champion, Bryce Ognenis.
Yes.
Yep, he'll be in there as well.
Bryce is a character, man.
Yeah.
And a very, very good dude. Down to earth, loves having fun. And, man, can that guy whip a motorcycle?
He's a photographer's dream, let's just say
Oh, man, yeah. he's a viewer's and fan's dream. You know, I pull over on the track sometimes when we're riding just to watch him.
Yeah.
You
know? at the AMX Open, I actually didn't click that it was him.
Yeah.
And I was like, who is this guy on an unbranded bike? Like, and
sticky tape numbers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Over number six, the big step up, corner step up. He was just throwing it sideways. So every time I saw him come around, I had the camera ready.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He got style for miles.
He reminds me of Jason Anderson. He's
very, very similar posture.
Yep.
Very similar riding style.
Shirt hangs out.
Yeah. Aggressive but calculated.
Yes.
Steers
with a rear end.
Steers with a rear.
Yep.
Exciting to watch.
Yep. Vic Titles MX2 class. I think we're going to see a continuation of an absolutely stacked field. You know, one of my boys comes on the podcast frequently, Zane McIntosh.
Yes.
Yep. Hopefully, I'm hoping we see Jai Constantino. Thomas Gadsden, who's another local guy that is going to be racing Pro MX this year, but he'll definitely be racing the Vic titles. He came back from a horrific year-long injury last year. So awesome to see him, and he's been really doing well at like the Gippies,
yep.
Gippsland Championships. And so he'll be stepping up to the state titles. At the state titles as well, so great to see him. Ty Keane, Brody Petschauer, I spoke to him actually earlier today.
Yeah.
So again, he's coming back from an injury last year, but a great young prospect.
Good character.
Yeah, definitely a character.
Good character, yep.
And some of the other absolutely red-hot riders, Caden Strode.
Yes, first year of seniors for Caden.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think he might be riding a 250 and a 450 as well.
Oh, wow.
I've seen him, he's been riding a 450 with numbers on it at the tracks lately. So, yeah, I don't know whether it's just a practice bike, but yeah, he's running number 211.
Yeah.
And I've seen him riding the 250 and the 450 and both incredibly well.
Yeah, well, a lot of the riders we mentioned just earlier in the MX1 class, a lot of them race MX2 at the national level, and they're all racing their, quote, practice bikes. For, you know, state and regional rounds. So, it's a good stepping stone for those guys too to be stepping up to the premier class at the Victorian Championships.
And let's be honest, there's probably an abundance of riders that we haven't mentioned.
Oh.
You know, like, yeah, you yeah. know, I think...
Countless.
Yeah, we could really lift the cap off that if we went into it. But I think that's probably best for the review show. We can talk about some of the performances. But getting back to it, there's talent in every class.
Yeah.
There is talent. And...
two more I just wanted to mention in MX2 is Oscar Fox and Charlie Bird.
Yes.
So, you know, yep. Guys, again, that are going to be definitely up the pointy end, I think.
Charlie's first year as a senior too, I believe. Charlie, his old man Graham was the president of Outram.
Outram.
And done a great job there. Good family.
Yeah, good family and family that gives back.
Yes, yes, definitely. Yeah.
Some of the senior women, again, you know, very, very strong field. Last year's reigning champion, Emma Milicevic, who just launched her own team.
Yeah, backed by Fox too.
Yeah. No. Maddie Healy, so she's on the Gas, the Elliott brothers. And I think she's hungry to do really, really well this year.
Oh, yeah. And I think with the exception of like Maddie Brown moving to Queensland and stuff like that, I think Maddie Healy, you know, probably wants to see herself as the person to beat.
Yep.
You know, her and Maddie Brown were always close with the racing, but yeah, I'd love to see Maddie have a red hot go this year.
Yeah, and she looked fantastic at the AMX Open as well.
Yep.
I know that she sees herself as being a future champion in the sport. Like, that's what her goal is.
Yep, and she will be. Yep.
Yeah. Kaylee Cameron. Well, Kaylee's just stepped up to the senior women's class as well, so this will be her first year as a senior as well.
Yep.
So, yeah, it'd be great to see her. And then finally, the old man class, which you'll be racing.
Yeah. Like fine wine, baby.
Yeah. Yurev Konski.
Konski, yeah. Konski will be in 40 plus.
Yeah. He won the Vic title last year, didn't he, in the 40 plus?
He did.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think he went down to the last round against him and Andrew Vanderlei. Shacklock.
I think Shacklock. Shacklock, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Down to the wire, too.
Yeah.
They exchanged moto wins.
Yep.
All season long.
Yep. Corey Vanderlei is racing it this year, I believe. I spoke to him at the Gippsland Championships and he was gearing up.
Very, very fast rider, man.
Yeah.
He's got the fortune of training with his son, you know, who's one of his best mates, which I think is really cool, Cody.
Yep.
And
he'll no doubt be there as well.
Yeah, yep. I actually raced a Blue Rock Club Day at the start of the year.
Yeah.
I was there against as well. The two boys, and I think, you know, Corey got the win and Cody and I were a close second and third, you know, the three of us shared the podium and that was a special moment for him, you know, he got to share the podium with his son for the first time.
Yeah, how cool is that? Yeah.
That was really cool. Yeah, those boys will be fast, no doubt. Just moved to Kawasaki.
Well, they might have some stiff competition if we can convince Steve Powell to current national vet champion, 40 plus champion Steve Powell to make a showing.
Yeah, I'd love to see Powley at a few of the races, yep.
Yeah, I think he was interested, so you know, fingers crossed.
Yep.
You might see someone of that calibre out there. Trent Dyer, another really, really...
30-plus guy,
strong 30-plus guy, and he's been winning everything at the C-grade level.
He's been everywhere, man. Yeah. He's got a big motorhome that he takes his, you know, he's got three kids and a partner and they travel around together and make a weekend out of an experience. And, Trent's a ripper dude, man. I actually went to primary school and high school with Trent and he was fast junior in his day too.
Got shows, yeah.
Yeah. He never lost it. He, he's running his own business and I think for a few years, you know, he obviously wasn't racing because he was getting his business up and off the ground and running. But, it's good to see him back, man.
Yeah, so he's one of the Mental for Moto sponsored riders as well. And
I love
hanging out with him at the race days. Yep. And
He's a good human.
Yeah, and like you said, his wife comes along.
Yep.
The kids are all there.
Yep.
Yeah, there's never a dull moment around the Dyer camper van, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to the whole cultural aspect of what we do and why we do it. You know, I actually spoke to him at Blue Rock the other week and they had camped at Blue Rock Dam and, you know, they wait for a swim and the kids love going camping and, you know, it's bigger than just going to the races for him now. And it's like that for a lot of people. It's that cultural aspect.
Being there is more important than the results or anything else that comes with it. Yep.
Exactly.
And finally, Ali Kent.
Can spin a spanner and ride a bike. Yeah. So, yeah, he's one of the head technicians at CDR. He's been there for the last, I think, three to four years now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, same thing. He's, he's number three in the Pro 450 class, and I believe he won the 30-plus class last year. He waxed all us boys. So,
What is it with these people that are multi-skilled?
Oh, man, give me some of that.
likewise.
Yeah. Nah, Kenty's a ripper dude, man. Yeah, he was the fastest kid around Colac I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up racing Western regions for a few years, and he was always every round at Colac, man. He was just this kid on a KX250F that would literally go around the track without taking the throttle off.
Yeah.
he rides a lot more, you know, calculated and smooth now, you know.
Comes with being a vet.
Yeah, but yeah, he's a gun, man.
Well, I'll be going to all of these events and doing a review podcast after every round of the Victorian Championships this year, which is, again, sponsored by Peter Stevens as well. So I'll no doubt be chatting to these and a bunch of other riders throughout the championship. And, of course, you'll be going and racing the senior rounds as well. So, yeah, it's going to be an awesome year.
It is. I'm really excited this year, Pete, just to see, obviously, what I hope to be every round a success.
Yep.
You know, for the clubs, for the riders, for the sport, for everyone. You know, what's good for our sport is good for everyone. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to getting behind it. And I think, you know, if I could have any word of advice to anybody that is remotely interested in giving any of these rounds a go, back yourself, man. Let's do it. Come and have fun. You know what I mean? There's no pressure to go out and feel like, because it's a state title, I have to perform or I have to... You know what I mean? It's more about just getting involved, getting your hands on, having a go, riding tracks you might not have ridden before.
Yeah.
Riding a race format you might not have ridden before. The Vic titles have longer motos than we race at a Gippy or a club day as well. You know, the MX1 class is 20 minutes.
Yeah, okay, yep.
You know, which is a stepping stone to what is a 30-minute moto at a national, where, you know, a club day or a regional, you get your five laps or something like that. Yeah. So... yeah, anyone that is remotely interested in racing a Vic title that either hasn't done it before or hasn't done it for a few years or is thinking about getting back into it, this is the year, man.
Awesome. I might even have to give it a go myself.
I think you should, Pete.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. There's a class for everyone, though.
That's it.
and I mean that when I say that, because there is. There's a class for everyone. You know, they split the vets up into a division of expert vets and clubman vets and... obviously, you know, in 30 and 40, all powers have A, B, and C all scored independently. There is a class for everyone to come and have fun, you know. And there's obviously classes that have high prestige as, you know, Pro Open and Pro Lights. This is the year for everyone to just get on and support the series, man. Support the clubs, the tracks. Support your, you know, I know we can't have every single rider on a PS sticker kit, but even the local dealers that are supporting their riders, you know, hopefully the guys that are before the races, they're supporting their local dealer and they're getting their tires and their tear-offs and their roll-offs now, sorry, and their oil and everything they need and driving that business back to their local dealer.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what keeps our business alive.
Yeah.
Is essentially, you know, events like this than people needing things and stuff like that. It keeps the wheel spinning. So I'm hopeful to see a big growth year for Victorian motocross, and we're excited to be a part of that growth as best we can.
Yeah, and from everything that I've seen and heard, I think that's exactly where we're going. So yeah, it's going to be a great year and I'm excited to see it. For all the listeners, follow Dean's advice if you're thinking about going. Get out there and hopefully we'll see you out there. On that note, we'll wrap it up and we'll catch you on our first review show when we come back after round one of the juniors at Cobram.
Just on that, and I don't want to make myself too available, but if anyone has any questions or queries or uncertainties about perhaps racing this championship, please message me and I'll be more than happy to walk you through it. You know, I think it's important that we get behind this.
Awesome.
So, yeah, please sing out. If anyone's not sure, find me.
I'll put all his contact details on. No, thanks a lot, Dean, for coming in studio. It's as always, it's been a big pleasure to chat, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Vic titles and maybe even lining up next year at a couple of them.
Let's see, man.
Yeah,
let's see.
I'll see you when you come around to lap me, but it's going to be a fun year.
My tongue will be in the spokes, man. Don't get too excited here.
All good.
Thanks,
all right.
Pete.
Thank you. That brings us almost to the end of the show. I'm looking forward to bringing you the very first Vic MX recap show, which will go live after the first round of the Junior Vics this weekend. If you see me getting around Cobram, please do come and say hello. I'd like to say a massive thanks to Peter Stevens and Moto Cred for supporting us as the title sponsors of the Vic MX Recap podcast, as well as Joe Stevens and Dean Mosig for joining me for a chat today. This podcast has been a joint venture between the Inside Dirt Network and the Mental for Moto podcast. I've been your host, Pete Wolf. Until next time, see ya.